Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show.
We have Blackhawks hockey tonight on NBC Sports Chicago. After upsetting the Preds Tuesday night, they hit the road looking for another win over a divisional foe. Hawks and Stars. Blackhawks pregame live drops the puck on our coverage at 7, and then it's game time. It's 7:30 on NBC Sports Chicago and streaming on the My Teams app. There's two games to go in the regular season for the Bears, both on the road. Could the Bears suffer a letdown Sunday against the 49ers? We'll look into that and a whole bunch more with the Bears. Meanwhile, Manny Machado's free agent tour continues today. This is him in Philly. Bryce Harper is still making up his mind. The White Sox would like to land one of them, but could they get both? Yes, both. We got someone on the panel who's going to talk about that. We'll discuss that and more tonight on Sports Talk Live. Welcome to Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Chuck Arvine in today for David Kaplan. And the panel for today's show, we have got from 670 The Score, Maggie Hendricks. Also from The Score and Pro Football Weekly, the one and only Hub Arkish. And from MLB.com and Forbes, he is Phil Rogers. Let's start with the champions of the NFC North, your Chicago Bears. They won the division. I'm going to go to you first. Are they the best in the NFC?
Well, I don't think they're the best team in the NFC. When you look at the roster, 1 through 53, are they playing the best football in the NFC right now? They very well may be, and you know, history has taught us you want the hot team down the stretch. I don't know if they qualify as hot, but they're certainly playing the best defense right now. Trubisky had a great bounce-back game last week against the Packers. So there's no reason to think they can't beat anybody. The problem is that I don't see them getting any better than that third seed. And it's really hard recent history to have to go on the road to have to win three games instead of two. So they're close. They're getting there. They're gaining, but I don't know that they're there yet.
Does this feel like, okay, this is going to go to New Orleans? Their season will come to a game in New Orleans against the Saints. Or should I not jump ahead that far?
Well, you know, Chuck, what nobody's looking at is New Orleans has struggled the last 3 weeks the same way the Rams have. I mean, you know, you look at, they're averaging 33 points a game. The last 3 weeks they've scored 10, 28, and 12. The wheels have come off that offense a little bit. They don't have much at receiver other than Michael Thomas. The Bears don't threaten them quite as much because nobody, including Aaron Rodgers, gets the ball out as fast as Drew Brees, so they have a natural antidote for the pressure. But everywhere else you look, and even though the Saints defense has played well, I don't see it as a defense that shuts the Bears down. I still tend to think that the Bears caught the Rams at the right time, and if the Rams have to go to Los Angeles, that could be the game that would trouble me a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you at number three seed to me is where they're going to fall because the schedules are just soft enough that even though the Rams and the Saints are playing well, it's hard for me to see that they would just completely collapse and let the Bears jump up and grab the number two seed. Home field, a big thing, but, you know, the Bears would have to win once on the road to go to the Super Bowl. I mean, that's not a terrible thing. I mean,
if they're the three seed, they'd probably have to win twice on the road, unless there was an upset somewhere else.
Well, let's say there's an upset.
Okay.
But I don't think, you know, the Bears have, you know, that they've shown they can really pretty much do everything. I mean, I know that the defense plays into the offensive scoring, but you look at where the Bears are in the NFL and scoring, you know, it's not just the defensive side of the ball, although certainly where they've gotten the ball and the turnovers and the defensive touchdowns contribute to the scoring too. But, you know, I don't really see the Bears as a team that has a weakness now. And I agree with what you said. I don't think they're the hot team. I don't think – seems to me like in baseball you can get hot with a pitcher or two. But in such a team game as football, you know, I think the best teams kind of went out.
I found this. They have 16 different players that have scored a touchdown this year. 16?
It's that versatility that has just really, to me, they're not a hot team. They're a team where different players can get hot. And that, to me, is the best thing about watching this team play, is you don't know who's going to be hot, but you know somebody's going to be. And if another player's having a down week, then somebody else comes in to fix it. So that, to me, is the best news for the players. playoffs, even if they do have to play three games.
How do you scout this team?
Well,
what's the game plan?
Let me back up a second. I don't think there's anything far-fetched about the Bears going to the Super Bowl. They can beat any of these teams, but I have to be the bearer of bad news now and give you the numbers. Over the last 5 years, the 10 Super Bowl participants, 9 of them are number one seeds. Mm-hmm. The 10th is a number two seed. We hear about these wild card teams going all the way. That was 10, the Packers, 11, the Giants, 12, the Ravens were in a wild card. They were a four seed. Over the last 10 years, 15 of the 20 Super Bowl participants are first or second seeds. And so it's just you're defying the odds is all I'm saying if you get there. Now, how do you scout this team? You can scout them all you want. There's nothing fancy about what Vic Fangio is doing on defense. What you got to do is scout that offense, and then there's so much to look at that you don't really know what to take away. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that Matt Nagy has done really well. And where the Rams got burned is they thought they knew what they could take away. They said, well, the Bears aren't going to run the ball on us, so let's focus. And they moved Ndamukong Suh out wide. They took all that pressure out of the middle. They just went up the gut on him on Jordan Howard, and they'll do it again if somebody tries to defend him.
That's great because you can go with Jordan Howard. He's kind of this forgotten guy. Mm-hmm. You can do Tariq Cohen. They've got options. And how much does Trubisky have to, I don't want to say win a game in the playoffs, but, I mean, how much can he take on his shoulders in the playoffs? Or does it not really matter? What you do in the regular season can equate to what he's going to have to do in the playoffs.
Well, I don't think we've seen everything that Mitch Trubisky can do yet. I mean, he's a developing young quarterback. He's still the least experienced starting quarterback in the league. The comp has been Jared Goff all along, where they were drafted, when they got the job, what they've done. Well, look at what happened to Goff last year in his second year. Great, great year. Got to the playoffs. And they messed the bet against the Falcons at home, by the way.
Yeah.
And so, you know, these are all natural progressions in the NFL.
Did you see this coming with this Bears team?
Oh, no. I was skeptical. And I think I was skeptical because so many times I've bought into what Bears administrations have told us, what Ryan Pace and Jerry Angelo and all of these people before have said, this is the team, this is the guy to get behind. And so, no, I would not let myself believe because it was like, you know, if you've been broken up by the same boyfriend 50 times, you know, this 51st time you say no.
Yeah, it was different, though, because of Mac. I mean, they didn't get Mac until the bus was pulling out.
A lot.
So, like, people, their expectations, when are you talking about? After you'd seen Mac in the, you know, in the mix or before? It was a night and day.
By the way, our Ink and Law poll question you see it on the screen. Are you worried about the 49ers game being a letdown for the Bears? 66% say yes, they'll lose.
Wow.
Where are you guys? Come on now. I'm going back to the preseason when Nagy was resting all his guys. And everyone was saying, what is he thinking? These guys have to gel together. They got to get some reps in. And he said, I know these guys. I know these players. He clearly was seeing something that many people from the outside, I'll include myself in there, didn't see.
Maybe yes, maybe no. I mean, I think what he was saying is I want to keep him healthy. You know, I want to avoid injuries. And I will continue to argue that that's far more about luck than anything else you can do and that they're on a good streak right now. And, you know, I didn't have a problem with a lot of the guys who weren't playing except for the quarterback. And I didn't want the quarterback to play four quarters every week, but he obviously needed those reps. And we saw early in the season that they might have benefited. As a matter of fact, it was Matt Nagy who came back week three, week four, week five, saying we got to get reps. We're catching up here.
Exactly.
So, you know, listen, obviously he wasn't wrong. He's got the division champs right now.
Yes,
he went
yes.
from worst to first.
Yep.
Nobody's saying he was wrong, but I don't know that you should claim victory on that one yet either.
All right.
I got a question for Hub. When you look at
I got
this,
a lot of questions for Hub.
You look at this team and the roster. It looks like they're going to, you know, likely bring back everybody they want for next year. Bobby Massey is maybe the best unrestricted free agent.
Bobby Massey and Adrian Amos are the only two starters who are free agents.
And, you know, to me, it's a team that should have some shelf life. And no matter what they do in the playoffs this year, they're going to be writing a narrative that'll carry over to next year, big expectations for next year. To me, it's a little bit, could be the 2016 Cubs. And you see them, they get there, and there's a feeling that, well, maybe they'll win this year, but if they don't, that's okay because they've got everybody coming back. But now we've seen what happens, that it's, you know, sometimes things have to happen special. I mean, you can't just count on the down the road. So, you know, do you see those that parallel?
I definitely see a parallel with the Cubs, Phil, and it's interesting because what I see is the 15 Cubs, not the 16 Cubs. This is a young team, a great core, a really good nucleus of guys who are going to be around for a while. The problem with football is that the injuries are a little more debilitating, a little more voluminous, if I can get the word out, than they are in baseball. And that's what makes it tougher to predict. But nobody saw the 15 Cubs coming. You knew it was going to happen soon, but Madden was the linchpin. Well, here comes Nagy. Nagy's the linchpin. I think that they'll probably win a playoff game or two. I just don't know, because actually they're in the same spot that the Rams and the Saints were in last year. Yeah. We know what experience can mean here. We have to wait. You got to go a week at a time. You got to see where you're playing the game. I mean, there could be an upset. You could have the Vikings come in as the sixth seed and knock off the Cowboys and then go out and knock off the Saints. You just don't know. You know, and that's kind of what's fun about it. But as I look at just the Bears kind of in a prism all by themselves, I see the 15 Cubs, and I think it's going to be fun for a couple of years.
Yeah, Khalil Mack was actually talking about that this week, that it's not that even though they are playing well and even though a lot of the players are under contract, even through 2020, not even through just next season, Charles Woodson taught him early on that what you need to do is strike when they're on top, because you just don't know who's going to be back, what coach is going to leave, anything like that. So you can't wait, because, yeah, especially with the injuries that happen in football.
Does it matter for them if Kyle Long comes back and plays? It seems like their line has played very well this year, you know, with and without him.
It matters because Kyle is the best offensive lineman on the team. It matters because he's one of the best guards in football. But that's if he comes back and is anywhere near 100%. He was probably at 90% earlier this season before he got hurt. If he could get back to 90% on day one, he is better than Brian Witzman or James Daniels, who, by the way, are both playing well. And James Daniels is exciting, but Kyle Long is a Pro Bowler.
So I'm walking through the office yesterday, and I see John Fox on television, and he's talking about who he thinks is the coach of the year, which was kind of ironic. I was like, is he going to give it to Matt Nagy? Would he actually do that? No, he went with Anthony Lynn of the Chargers, who's done a great job. They're 11-3. Who is?
I think that's some sour grapes. I mean, Anthony Lynn's had a great season. There's no question about it. But they were my preseason pick to win the AFC West. There's nothing stunning about what they've done. They are
Philip Rivers, Mitch Trubisky.
I mean, they're loaded with talent.
I mean, could you see John Fox literally going on television, going, "My coach of the year, the guy who replaced me"?
I mean, it would be. I think it would be cool. It's what I would do. I guess it's all about who we are, you know.
I think I would hope I would, but I don't know if I actually would in the moment.
I mean, as you look around, you have to give some credit to Anthony Lynn. You actually got to take a look at Jason Garrett, who was getting fired six weeks ago. Certainly Matt Nagy is right there with the best of them. I think you also, you know, probably have to look at Bill O'Brien, who was 0-3, and they're 10-4 now. There's been some great coaching jobs out there. I was asked this question on the radio, Maggie. I don't remember which one of our guys asked me about 5-6 weeks ago, and it froze me because I think they were 4-3, and I hadn't even thought about it. And I said, you know, I didn't think of him as a candidate. Now he seems to me to be, I mean, I actually do have a vote. I'm one of the voters, and we're not supposed to tell anybody who we're voting for. I'm probably going to vote for Matt Nagy. I think he is the coach of the year.
Yeah, he's been incredible. And there were two great moves that they made. One was hiring him, but then keeping Fangio. Mm-hmm. Was he close to leaving, do you think?
I don't know.
You don't know.
Personal between them. I don't think so, because, I mean, if he'd had a head job, he'd be gone.
Yeah.
Okay. And without a head job, where was he going to do better? He spent 3 years building this defense with John Fox, even not knowing Khalil Mack was on the horizon. They were a top 10 defense last year.
Yeah.
He is one of the highest paid coordinators in football right now. So where was he going
to
go?
Yeah. Props to him, though, and also to them to make it work, but especially props to him to not just get mad. I didn't get the head coaching job. I'm going to go somewhere else. These guys don't really value me.
Well, and Phil, big props to Matt Nagy, who from the day he got here has said, well, Vic can handle the defense. And he's been very good about that. Yeah. He defers to Vic all the time. Now, you know, he says enough to know he's the head coach. He can do what he wants to do. But he apparently doesn't have the kind of ego that doesn't allow him to do that. So I think he's handled the relationship really well.
Pro Bowlers, any surprises? 5 of these guys get in. Do you think there should have been more, less?
I absolutely think Eddie Goldman is a Pro Bowler, but that's so tough at nose tackle because people just don't watch the position. And I think that Danny Trevathan has had that kind of year, but you're not going to get Luke Kuechly or Bobby Wagner off the team, so that just wasn't going to happen.
Right.
And interestingly enough, I mean, Prince Amukamara, to give the Bears 3 defensive backs would be a lot, but these guys are all top alternates. They may end up getting in
anyway. Yeah, they could.
The Bears aren't
in
the Super Bowl. Yeah.
That's true. I had this written down here. This the Bears are first in the NFL with a +13 takeaway margin. The last time they led the league, 1985.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's how good they are taking the ball away.
Can I give you a more stunning stat than that?
Yes, please.
They have 35 takeaways. The number two team has five less, Cleveland. The other 30 teams have 10 or more less.
That's crazy.
Nobody's in their league.
Nobody's even in the same stratosphere.
Guys, the team they're going to play Sunday, the San Francisco 49ers, have seven.
Seven takeaways.
They're last in the league. And that's why, by the way,
for everybody
who's worried about Sunday, I mean, I understand why you're worried, okay? 35 takeaways, seven takeaways. I'm taking that team. That's, you know, it's likely to happen.
And, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, they should have won the Packers game. I mean, the Dolphins game.
You know, Kyle Fuller, who is now the slam dunk first choice at corner for the Pro Bowl, holds on and leading the league in interceptions. If he holds on to that one, yeah.
But if he holds on to that one, is he the angry, determined guy that he has been for the rest of the season? I'm not sure.
See, Maggie, that's a great point, because whenever we do that, you don't even know what happens the next week or the week after. It changes everything.
Also, after he dropped that, if they make one more first down, I mean, there are many other ways.
He's not the reason they lost the game, but he could have put it away.
Yeah. All right, well, the holidays are approaching, and the White Sox are still shopping. Could they actually find a way to sign both Harper and Machado? I said Machado. Phil Rogers says yes. We're going to discuss that and more next.
For Chicago Sports Talk with Sizzle, crank up the heat and turn on STL. Host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table every weeknight on the topics that are trending with our teams. Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado, weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
Welcome back. Manny Machado's free agent tour continued today in Philadelphia. It appears that it's come down to three teams, Yankees, Phillies, and White Sox. A construction worker actually yelled to Manny as he was walking in, "Do the right thing and sign. Get that money." We shall see what he is going to do. All right, I've got some thoughts, but let's get your guys' thoughts. Where do you think is going to happen here with Machado and Harper?
I honestly think Machado's going to end up with the White Sox.
Oh!
I don't know why I have this feeling, but I do. And I think Harper is probably going to be with the Dodgers.
Okay, Dodgers. All right, Hub.
First, I want to get back on record as being vehemently opposed to any 10-year, $300 million contract for anybody.
For anybody.
Not even me? Can I get that?
Maybe Maggie. But other than that, it's never worked. It's a bad idea, and yet teams keep doing it, okay? It certainly appears, I don't know why Bryce Harper would not go to Los Angeles, and you know, the Phillies have got so much money, they got to get one of these guys, so I assume that the Phillies get Machado.
So on the one hand, you got a Philly construction worker yelling at you.
Yes.
On the other hand, you have your sister-in-law saying, "You got to stay in Chicago."
Exactly.
The Yonder Alonso signing was brilliant. Trade was brilliant.
Love it.
I mean, I don't know if that will carry the day, but it's such a human thing that everybody with a family can relate to.
Well, I think what the White Sox saw was this. Okay, Machado likes the Yankees. A-Rod is his quasi-agent because he's invested into Machado's agency, or the agent, his agent's agency. So there's that part. The Phillies, a lot of their executives came from Baltimore. So who did the White Sox have? They've got his brother-in-law.
I mean, all of those other connections are really, they pale next to the person your wife talks to more often than anybody else, her sister. I mean, that is, to me, is pretty
powerful.
Yeah,
but you know, Phil, the problem is they say blood is thicker than water. There's no blood in there. There's a lot of water, but there's no blood. You know,
and we're assuming everything's, you know, it's a happy family.
Alonso said on the conference call with us, he said, "I would love for him to be a Southside neighbor of mine."
Two blocks apart in Miami.
Yes.
You know, clearly they enjoy being around each other.
Yeah.
I think the White Sox are very much in play. I agree with Maggie, Harper seems like a little bit more of a reach, but Chicago has, it has a cachet.
Yeah.
I think for visiting ball players love Chicago. I don't know if anybody in America loves Chicago more than visiting ball players.
Do visiting ball players ever say, "I can't wait to go to Philly"?
Never.
Never.
Never once been said. And they're hot and cold on New York. Chicago, everybody loves Chicago as a visiting ball player. You stay in those hotels on, you know, Michigan Avenue. You're here in the summer when the weather is, by the way, freaking awesome. So they love Chicago. I mean, it is an advantage for Chicago teams that visiting players love it love it a lot.
All right, well, here are my thoughts about this. That if I would love Machado or Harper to play here. If assuming that the White Sox make an offer that is just as good, if not better than everybody else, and they decide not to come here, I think that's more telling about them as players and competitors, and to the point where I don't want them here. And what I mean by that is Bryce Harper could probably go to the Dodgers, live the L.A. life. It's a winning team, easy way out. He's there getting all that money. Machado, go be a Yankee. He's got plenty of supporting, a big supporting cast. He's not going to be the guy. The guy who's going to come and sign with either the Phillies or the White Sox is going to be like John Lester. He's going to say, put this franchise on my back. I will lead you to the promised land.
There is one big problem with all that, though.
Yes, John. What is it?
Is that these guys, they want the money, absolutely. Okay. They also like to win. And the Phillies, the Dodgers, the Yankees, ready to win right now, okay?
If you're signing a 10-year contract or whatever it is, you don't have to win right now.
No, but you do have to win somewhere along the line.
Yeah,
and this is all based on hope and pride. I love what the White Sox are doing. I'm not criticizing them in any way, but you don't know how this is going to work out. And you don't want to be 4 or 5 years into this deal and still be tanking for two more players or whatever it may be.
Look at Jose Abreu's existence with the White Sox. I actually think you could come to the White Sox and have less pressure than you would have in New York or Philly. I mean, those are tough cities to play in. And, you know, I think it's a great time for somebody to come to the White Sox because, you know, if you have vision, you see what they're building, you know, and well, let's hold off to see what happens with Jose Abreu down the line after these free agent situations play out. Mm-hmm. To me, he either signs a contract extension or you have to consider trading him. But you don't do it right now while you're trying to recruit these other guys. So this is the, could the White Sox sign them both?
Yes. You wrote about this.
The White Sox have, I mean, the Phillies kind of had it a year ago, but they've cut into their payroll flexibility some since then. Nobody has it like the White Sox. And because their payroll commitments are so low, after this year, Tim Anderson's $7, $8 million contract a year is the only one on the books. So they could absolutely have two $30 or $35 million salaries and then have a $140, $150 million payroll. Their issue would be, like the Cubs now, their issue would be in 4 or 5 years.
When these cost-controlled players then
when
become
Michael
free
Kopech
agents, yeah.
becomes a, you know is getting to arbitration and as those contracts start to climb, but the White Sox have this little window 4 years, 5 years, and I would almost guarantee you, I couldn't guarantee you, but I would bet one of those two guys will opt out. I would almost guarantee you both of those contracts will have opt outs, and I wouldn't be surprised. I will be surprised if both Machado and Harper are in the same place 4 years after they sign.
Well, and I think the White Sox are a lot closer to popping than they were last season. They looked really good but weren't finishing games. They showed a lot of flashes of brilliance, and then there were a lot of their guys down in the minors were looking good. So I think that they need a final piece to come in, and that's why Machado or Harper would be so nice. But I think the White Sox are pretty close to being a team that's going to contend in the AL Central.
It's very easy to say, well, they lost 100 games last year. Well, they lost 100 games because I don't want to say they were trying to lose 100 games, but they weren't fixing. If it was a normal situation, they'd be like, oh, we have an injury. Let's go find somebody. Or we'd just go trade for this person. They wouldn't make the moves to improve their record because why would you do that? So they end up losing 100 games. And you have all these guys who are trying to learn up here. I think they're much closer than what people might think, especially if you look at their record and think, oh, they're not going to be winning. You know,
they've made no big moves this winter, but they've upgraded at three positions. They've upgraded catcher with James McCann. Hopefully they'll get a full year from Wellington Castillo. Mm-hmm. Ivan Nova is going to be way better than James Shields was as in that veteran starter front of the rotation spot. And then Yonder Alonso, wherever you hit him, is a big impact guy. I mean, no offense, Nicky Delmonico is probably the guy that was like Yonder Alonso was in their lineup last year. No offense to him, but Yonder Alonso is a major league plus hitter. And these
good
other guys are trying to
–
Exactly. He's a, we've seen it before with them, but they'd be crazy to play Abreu at first base and DH Yonder Alonso, because Yonder Alonso is a plus defensive player.
When we get to the Cubs, Yu Darvish posted a video of himself throwing off flat ground. This is encouraging. Hub Arkish, Cubs fan, are you enjoying watching this right now?
This I couldn't care less about. I'm glad he's doing it, but right. It's funny, all the gloom and doom and all the freaking out around the Cubs, a team that won 95 games and went to the playoffs four
with him winning one.
Well, you know, I think what people, nobody talks about it, but that stretch of 42 games in 43 days at the end of the season, I think that's the reason they only played one game, or two playoff games, actually. I don't believe they lose the division if that doesn't happen, and I don't know what happens after that. And that was even with the galactic busts that Darvish and Chatwood were. So yeah. I just don't see him as being in that bad of shape.
And it makes sense that the Cubs aren't overreacting to it. I think many Cubs fans want them to make changes and add here and do this, but I think you got to pump the brakes a little bit. Not that they have all the money to spend anyway, but like they're not overreacting to what happened last year.
We've gotten spoiled the last few hot stove seasons. There's always been a big signing, always been a big thing. And this year it's like, no, the players they have need to produce. And that's what Theo's been saying from the second the season ended. It's got the players that are there need to produce. And so, no, it's not going to be as big of a thing on the hot stove.
Well, I disagree a little bit. I think at his end of the season breakdown, you know, he kind of talked about complacency, and he talked about these guys that we've had a while. You know, I think he kind of laid it out there that they were going to trade some of these, you know, we call them younger players, but they're now 3 or 4 year veterans.
But why haven't they been traded yet? Not that there has been too much going on. It could have happened later. Because part of me, I was wondering, looking back on it, was that him saying these guys need to produce and telling them they need to be improved better next year? Or is he saying, your guys are out the door?
Maybe he wanted them to sweat. I mean, you know, there's usually method to, but don't, you know, he did do that. He came straight from the clubhouse. You know, they had those back-to-back losses against the Brewers and the Rockies. And he really, I don't think, had a lot of time to strategize my out after the wild card game speech. but I don't think they've done it because cooler heads prevail, and any of those guys they move, they're trading them when their value is down. Now's not the time to trade any of those guys.
Let's not forget that baseball has changed. I mean, Jake Arrieta didn't sign until March last year, and so there's no rush with any of this anymore. But if you look at if Chris Bryant is healthy, and I have a hard time believing that he is because the power was just gone. Now, whether that was because he wouldn't listen to Chili Davis or the power, I don't know. But if
he wasn't healthy.
If Chris Bryant is healthy, Rizzo, you know, you can count on. Baez was the real deal. And Wilson Contreras is the player he was 2 years ago. You've got four MVP candidates that you're building around. You got the best defender in the outfield. And most importantly is, and I know these are ifs, but if they're healthy, this is probably the best rotation in baseball. So what is it you want to rip up here? I mean, you know.
The rotation is a good point. We take it for granted. I thought of that watching the Darvish video. In most Cub fans' minds, you're looking, when Yu Darvish is out there, you're looking at the number four or number five starter. And if he's your number four or number five starter, you've got yourself a heck of a rotation.
Yeah. He might be the X factor for the whole season for these guys next year. I mean, what Yu Darvish is going to show up, which one? And so that could be a big deal. What do you think about Daniel Descalso? I feel like that'd be a great Harry Carey name. I can hear Harry saying that. Daniel Descalso.
Spell it backwards, and it's wah, wah, wah.
That's a good, you know, sneaky pick. He's a good player.
My factoid on him is, now granted, he had a running start because he was with the Cardinals most of these years, but 5 of the last 7 years he's been with a postseason team, and nobody saw Arizona coming last year, and he had a really good year for them. So I think he's a nice bench part.
Okay, do you see the Cubs doing anything beyond that this offseason?
I think they will. I don't know what it will be, but I think they're going to move in and they're going to bring in a hitter who is tougher to strike out, who makes more contact. I thought Michael Brantley would have been perfect, who would just sign with the Astros.
Where do you play him?
Well, you could play him, you know, you're going to have to make a hard decision on one of your players. Yeah. You know, you could play him on a corner and you could play Hayward in center. You could make a hard call on Schwarber and trade him somewhere else. But I think they're going to do something from outside that will address the strikeouts and will kind of give the lineup a little bit of a different look.
I am really hard-pressed to see Schwarber, Almora, and Happ all back. All three of them back is hard to see. And the funny thing about it to me is that the one that I'd be the most disappointed if he was gone was Almora, and I wouldn't have said that going into last year.
And I agree with you. I mean, on paper, Brantley on this team would be perfect.
It's a perfect example of how they like put themselves in their own handcuffs with Chatwood and their previous spending, that they just don't have the money to go out and pursue a guy that gets $36 million for 2 years.
If the Sox, I know they're going after Harper, but that was my guy. I want him to be a bridge until the prospects would come. So I'd only want him to sign him for 2 years. He got two
and an option.
His option?
Club option.
Yes, I like that for the Sox.
He gets hurt too much for me, Brantley.
Last year he didn't get hurt. All right, yet another player goes down for the Bulls. This time it's Bobby Portis, injured last night against Brooklyn. So what does that mean for Jabari Parker? Will he return to the rotation? Maybe, maybe not. Oh, the soap opera continues. That and more next.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.